Galatians 5. We read this verse last week, but it's one of our key verses. So we're going to read it again this morning. For time's sake, we're just going to start in verse 13. He says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." He says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now this is the Amplified. It says, "For you, brethren, we're indeed called." Now notice that we're called to it, right? We're called to freedom. "Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love you should serve one another, for the whole law concerning human relationship is complied with in one precept: you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself." I think we need to stop there for just a minute. This is, I would say, probably not the whole of the thinking of the church. A lot of people have the idea of all the fivefold ministry is supposed to serve me. That's not the case. There'll be way less fivefold ministries, and we'll get into that, Ephesians chapter 4 over there, than what there will be everybody else. And it's going to take all of us. But a lot of places that they hire and they fire what they call their little pastors, because we want him to do all our praying for us, all of our fasting for us. If we're sick, we want you to come and visit our cousin, his best friend, so-and-so, in the hospital. Don't even attend church. Y'all know, y'all not saying nothing. Where all that everybody else gets to do is come and feed and get fat. How many knows if you eat, you really need to exercise? Some way or another. You don't need to just eat and sit on the couch. You get fat that way. Now, let's look at Romans 12. We looked at this one last week, too. But a lot of people have that idea, because how many knows that is the way a lot of churches are. I didn't say all, but a lot, especially some of your denominational churches. And that's not right, not according to Scripture. He's verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now notice that. He says, that's the very least we can do. In all the light of the mercies of God, he saved us, he's healed us, he's took us out of poverty, he's redeemed us from the curse. Everything that God has done for us, he said, this is your small part, to present everything that you have and everything that you are to God's service. He says in the Amplified, he says, "I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies." That's something we do. "Presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God." He says, "which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service." He says here that it is our spiritual worship. A lot of times we just think of worship as when we say 11 o'clock, praise and worship, you know. Praise team gets up here and we play and sing and y'all do whatever y'all do, you know, worship the Lord or whatever. But he says here, that's not all that praise and worship is. The Bible says that I have been bought with a price, that I am not my own. I don't belong to myself anymore. This verse here tells me every finger that I have, employ it in God's service. Every toenail that I have, employ it in God's service. Every thought that I have, employ it in God's service, right? Is that not what he said? And he says, this is my reasonable service of worship. Now, serving God and others is spiritual worship. Let's look at, let me get my glasses back on here. I can't hardly read my own handwriting. I get in the spirit and just start writing. Y'all think it was the spirit? Let's see here. Let's go to Matthew 20. See, if I have been bought with a price and I don't belong to me anymore, then that means somebody else is my Lord. Jesus said, if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. Now, I know we're all working on this, right? I mean, every thought that I have is not employed in God's service. I'm just going to be honest with you. Now, I'm working on that. It's more than what it used to be, but not fully there yet. And I don't know that any of us will be fully, totally before he comes. But here in Matthew 20, I'm going to start reading in verse 25. He says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, talking to his disciples, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? Minister. The word minister there, when I looked that word up in the Strong's Concordance, it says servant. The best way that I can describe the rest of what it says is like a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant. He goes on and he says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? This is not the way of the world. The way of the world, the powerful and the authority, those in authority, they boss others around. But he says it's not so in the kingdom. Whoever's going to be great in the kingdom of God and before others is going to be a servant to all. Is that not what Jesus was himself? He said, I didn't come to be served. He said, but I came to serve. He said in another place, he said, the disciple or servant is not above his master. So in other words, whatever he is and however he done, that's what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to do. He goes on, verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, or that word you can translate it, served, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, let's look at, just put it on the screen for us, at Matthew 6:33. We ain't got time to take that whole chapter. Most of us could quote it, know what it says. The verses above this, he's talking about, you know, don't be anxious or worried or anything. Take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear and all this. He says, because the Gentiles do this, right? He says here in verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That translates his way of doing and being right. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, this is a big thing in the body of Christ. A lot of us like to quote that verse and think we're doing that verse. But if he's going to be first, then everything else has to be second. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Everything has its priority, right? Well, if that's the case, then when it comes time to pray, what do I do? Y'all not saying nothing. I pray, right? When it comes time to do Sunday school, what do I do? Oh, no, I can't. My car's tore up. Gas is over $5 a gallon, Johnny. I ain't got gas money. Y'all not saying nothing. Oh, my wife is sick, so I need to stay home and take care of her. Or Scotty's sick. I need to stay home and take care. He's got a fever, Sandy. I can't do Sunday school. Y'all not saying nothing. See, if that's the case, Scotty's first. Scotty's not supposed to be first in my life. Now, he's a very important part. Me and him, where the Bible says that we are one. But at the same time, why? How do I know that? I'm called to do Sunday school. It's not something I do. It's a part of who I am and the calling on my life. So therefore, if I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, then I've got to be here doing my job when it's time to do my job, if at all possible. And sometimes if it's not possible, we have to use our faith, because just like I said a while ago, I was telling somebody, I think Shannon or whatever, and Johnny heard me. Wherever there's a will, there's usually always a way. Even if there's not a way, God can make a way. I'm reminded of one time that me and Scotty, we was in revival at this time, and Scotty had got a little ripped at the minister, because actually the minister missed it on something that he had told Scotty, and it ripped him a little bit. Now, we hadn't been saved all that long or whatever, so anyway, we're in revival. Well, I'm all excited about going to revival the next night. He comes in from work, and he's like, well, we don't have the gas. It takes a quarter of a tank in my car for us to go from Rosa to Berry Mountain over here to Hansville to church and then back home. Almost a full quarter of a tank. Well, we have right under a half a quarter of a tank. So how many knows when you do the math, that don't compute, you don't have enough to go. But on the inside, I have such a desire to go. Now, Scotty thinks I got to go because she might backslide. And if I backslide, that's not good. Y'all think I'm not too good now? Woo! I'm really not good. And that's most of our flesh. I mean, that's just not me. You know, I mean, anybody can tear the house apart and stuff like that. But anyway, so he says, okay. I told him, I said, well, I said, you know, if we go, God will make a way. Somehow or another, I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, maybe somebody at church is just going to walk up and give us some money. That happens sometimes. You know, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. But so we get ready and we go. And we forget all about not having enough gas or anything. We enjoy the service. I mean, and usually on the way home, I mean, we're so on fire for God and so in love with him and church and the people at church. And we just all the way back home till we get to Cleveland Stretch. And the car quits, Monty. It starts, y'all know how it does when you run out of gas. It starts sputtering. So Scotty starts rocking from one side. There ain't nothing coming one side of the road to the other. I mean, we're like if we're on a boat like this. And it picks up a little gas and it goes on. I mean, and I don't know how many times that goes on. Till we turn on the road that goes up to Berry Mountain. And right after we get turned, that's it. That's all the gas that it will pick up in there. Then he goes, he's turning the switch, you know, till he runs. Y'all have heard this story. Till he runs the battery down. Now, you know when the batteries run down. I mean, it was going around, 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 click, click, click. It's dead. You got all the juice out of it. Well, it's pouring down rain. It's like 9, close to 10 o'clock at night. Travis is about 2 years old. It's coming a thunderstorm, and he has a truck at the house that has just barely enough gas in it for him to get to work the next day. So he's going to get out and run to the house, which is a ways away, but he's a lot younger then. Anyway, he's going to do that, and he opens the door, and then he shuts it back. He just has a feeling on the inside. Try it again. So y'all know the story? He tries it again, and it's not click, click, click. It immediately cranks right up. He looks at me, I look at him, and I said, go! And when I said go, he stomped it, and we went. We get to the house, and we're sitting under the carport in the driveway looking at each other, and it's just running. I don't know how it's running. Angel juice, I have no idea how that car. That is an absolute, genuine, bona fide miracle. What is a miracle? Supernatural intervention into the natural. There's no way that car should have even cranked. It's clicking. Now, why did I tell you that story? Because if you use your faith, especially in something you know is the will of God, just like y'all tell you married, let no man put us under. That was awesome, wasn't it? Took a long time. A lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, I'm sure. But God came through. He's faithful. So sometimes, especially when you know something is the will of God, faith begins where you know the will of God is. Then you can use your faith to do the impossible. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Just like I knew it was the will of God for us to be at church. How do I know that? Well, according to Scripture, and then I got the Spirit on the inside, then I'm just jumping to go to revival. So therefore, by faith we go, not knowing how things is going to work out, not knowing if somebody's going to give us some money, not knowing if we're going to be stranded on the side of the road in the middle of a thunderstorm with a two-year-old. See, what? Sometimes we make a lot of excuses for what we really don't want to do. I could have a lot of excuses. Just like y'all seen some of that I went through. Y'all seen it. I lived it. Where I come to church and I do Sunday school and my brain is not working right. It's hard for me to just put two scriptures together or a full sentence. And it might be that way when we first started, but I come by faith. Why? I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And then y'all help me, and here we go, and surely y'all got something sometime or another. You know, why am I saying that? Because a lot of people, they encounter, and I'm not talking about me. There's people that's done way more than I have and go way further than what I do or whatever. But at the same time, because I know it's the will of God for me to do Sunday school, then for me to come to church, do you realize I was worse mentally and physically after every service that I came to? And in my flesh, it was hard for me to keep coming because I knew in the flesh, in the natural, what's going to happen. I mean, some of y'all seen it, some of y'all did. April's like, yeah, I seen it, I had to help you. I mean, when I would play the drums, my head would go to the point to where one time April had to help me. I think it was April and Jeffrey. I can't walk, I'm out of control. I'm not in control of myself. But at the same time, because I know the will of God and I'm going to exercise my faith and believe God, you will help me. I would go to the store, and I shouldn't have been going to the store, but I got stuff to do. I got to go buy church stuff. Them kids need a snack. I got to buy some mopping stuff. different stuff. So I go over here to the store, and I pray before I go, God, help me. Help me to get to the store and back. Why? Because when I would drive, my head would just round. And you feel like you're falling over this way when you're really going this way. And I get in there, and sure enough, right as I'm checking out, that blasted jerking would start. And when the jerking would start, I get out of control of myself. I can't stop it. I can't. My legs don't physically want to move the way my brain knows they're supposed to move. And guess what happened? Here walk Sandra and Cassandra and Shannon into the store. Just as I'm checking out, they helps me take my stuff out and put it in the truck, and I, by faith, went on the way home, and nobody was harmed in the process. Why am I saying that? Because, see, a lot of times people, we ain't got no gas money, we can't go to church. You don't want to go to church. I can't go to church. That's like Jeffrey. Jeffrey works, his wife works, he's on his job, he's on call 24/7. If they call, he's got to go. He has to work, like, he's the maintenance guy at the nursing home. So can y'all imagine how much maintenance they could have at the nursing home? Somebody's toilet ain't working, Jeffrey's got to stay till it's working. Well, then he's also got 3 kids. And only one of them can bathe themselves. The other one's in diapers on the bottle. But you know what? He comes to church. You got other people, their excuses, I can't come to church, I got a kid. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Why am I saying all of this? Because he said, seek first the kingdom. Well, if my kids is first, then God is not. But I expect God to come through and meet every need that I have, every time that I pray, answer every prayer that I pray, every time I rebuke a fever, it go. Any time that I need something from him, bless God, he better be there to do it. This is a two-way relationship. And he was not created for me. I was created for him. And he says, put him first. Why? If I put him first, everything else in my life will pan out. May take a little time, may take a little finances, may take a little faith, whatever the case may be, but it will come and be the way that it's supposed to be. Johnny and Samantha, perfect example. Me and Scotty, perfect example. Do you think we're down here doing what we're doing because we're the smartest and the brightest? Don't you lie in church, Monty. No, it's not because we're the smartest and the brightest. He says in his word, he says, I take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Those that are ignorant and unlearned, what they say? We can tell they have been with Jesus. Because see, mine and Scotty's entire life now, except when we backslid, hearts start getting cold, God ain't first, I'm first. What I want, start going to the flea market on Sunday. That would turn out to be a mess. But anyway, our entire Christian life, until we backslid or whatever, and then come back to the Lord, we orchestrate our entire life for nearly 30 years now around God and his kingdom. Why? Because he said, put me first. Put me first, my way of doing and being right. It's going to take faith to do it. Why? Because you can't do the supernatural. He does the supernatural, but all he asked us to do is to believe him, and he'll do it. Right? So therefore, if I can't get to church, God will make a way if I want to come. But if I don't want to come, Monty, I'm trying to figure out an excuse on Monday not to be there Wednesday. Let me and Scotty get into it on Monday. The first thing I think is, bless God, I'm not going to hear you on Wednesday night. You got another thing coming. Why is that? What does that have to do with anything? There's method to his madness. He's not stupid. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's been around for millenniums. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If God is first, my husband is not. Now, I understand there's times, just like the Bible talks about, your ox getting in the hole. Get him out. That's just like when Scotty had the heart attack and had open heart surgery. I had to stay down there with him. The poor man is on a ventilator. I mean, there's nothing he can decide for himself. And the lady's trying to, by the machine over there, bring him off of the ventilator or whatever, and he ain't having it. As soon as she starts giving him the medicine to come awake, he starts jerking tubes and all that stuff, so she has to knock him back out. I mean, the poor man can't stay down there by himself, Monty. I've got to stay with him. Now, if he's got a cold or the flu or COVID or something other home, well, love you. I got to go do what I got to do, and then I'll be back. Some of us, we can't come to church if our husband or our wife or our kid is sick. It takes all 5 of us to stay at home with mama when she's sick. Are you kidding me? That's your excuse, because the desire is not in your heart for God and to go. See, what I'm doing this morning is I am serving God and I am also serving you. I have a job to do. I have something that I'm called to do. If you sing on this praise team, you should be here every single service. Unless your ox is in a hole, and bless God, if it's in a hole 5 times a month, we're going to shoot it. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Why? Because I can't let nothing keep me from doing this. Why? Because do you understand? If my job is keeping me from doing this, God, take it out of my life. You're greater than my job. Because, see, I can't trust in the job. Why? The job can be gone tomorrow just like that. God gave me the job. God can give me another one. Or he can take care of me without a job. He does me. Now, a lot of times he uses Scotty to do it. Sometimes other people. Use what you will, God. But I'm well taken care of. Can't you tell? I'm not going to tell you what size my new shirt is. Thing feels like a bed sheet, but boy, it's comfortable. Anyway, don't get me off on something different. What am I saying? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Church is the kingdom. People is part of the kingdom. Every time I'm supposed to be up here playing. Now listen, God didn't tell me to play them drums. I never heard God tell me to play the drums. They just started a praise team. They wasn't a drummer. I thought I might could learn a little bit. Surely I'm not that dumb. You know, I could learn a little bit or whatever, you know, to be a help. But at the same time, over the period of 30 years now, there's been times that I couldn't. You know, just like what I went through. I would try to play sometimes, and it would make me worse, so I wouldn't play or whatever. But at the same time, I do what I can. Now, I'm not even called to that. But they ain't nobody else, and surely it helps a little. I mean, Johnny said one time when I wasn't here, he said, I'm glad our little drummer's back. So surely it does a little bit of something to help. Why do I do that? I got to come to practice. Now, Monty, he lives for practice. I don't live for practice, Johnny. It's okay that I come, you know, but I mean, there's sometimes I'd like to continue on with my nap. I didn't start it till late. Y'all not saying nothing. Listen, I work hard up here. Yeah, y'all have no idea unless you've been up here doing this. How many spirits you deal with off of people sometimes when you're up here? It gets tiring. I got to go home, get my lunch, and get my nap. So sometimes practice, I don't want to come to practice. Well, guess what? If you're going to be on the praise team and seek first the kingdom of God and be a help to the kingdom of God, why? Because do you understand music a lot of times can get to your heart and help you move into the Spirit of God quicker than it will if you just try to do it on your own? Sometimes the Spirit, if you're playing and you're in the Spirit or whatever, just like David, whenever he played the harp for Saul and he had a demon tormenting him or whatever, the Bible says the Spirit would depart from him. The praise and the worship, the music and everything, it's supposed to be to get us to enter into the presence of God and to change our hearts to receive the Word of God so it gets planted into good soil. So there's a great purpose for that. Some people think it's no big deal. I just sang on the praise team or I just play the guitar. It is a big deal. It's part of seeking first the kingdom of God. Some people think keeping the nursery is no big deal. I've had people come and tell me that's working nursery before. Say, I was in there the last time, it's their turn. Come to me. Is it okay if I don't do it tonight? I just need me some Jesus. Well, guess what? Bless God, we all need us some Jesus. Get back there and take them kids. It's your service. Y'all not saying nothing. It's my service. If I'm capable of doing it, then I need to get back there and do it. I'm reminded right now of, we haven't been saved too long. And I don't know why I had this problem. I guess just the lies of the devil or something, or I thought I was so bad I couldn't make it. I don't know. But for a long time after I got saved, I had this, if I can just get to Brother Brad and let him pray for me, I'll be okay. What I feel is I feel like I can't stay saved. I feel like I'm on the edge of backsliding any minute at the time. I don't know if any of y'all ever had that, but I had that when I got saved for a pretty long time. Well, lo and behold, I go to church. There's a guy preaching there. His name's Brother Smart. And there was another lady there. His name was Chuck, and her name was Pat. It's actually Sister Jean Parsons, if any of y'all knows her, her daughter. Well, I was sitting on the front row, so he was asking for prayer. So I was taking a step out to go up for prayer, and when I looked, Chuck and Pat are coming up. She's coming up to get prayer. I thought, oh, God. Babies think only about themselves. They're not willing to serve nobody. That kid don't care that you worked all night and now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It wants some milk and it wants a diaper change. And it don't care that it woke you up. Well, anyway, she goes up there and I can hear what she's wanting prayer for. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, God, I really needed the prayer, you know, I needed somebody to pray for me, blah, blah, blah. But when I hear her, I hear her tell him that she had been diagnosed with cancer. And she's want prayer and everything, you know. And when I heard her say that, in my heart, I said, God, I'll do without prayer, God. If you'll just touch her and minister her and heal her. Why am I telling you that story? The Bible says prefer others above yourself. There's some people that they come here and out there in other places, they prefer only themselves. Minister to me. I need minister to. That's fine when you're a baby. But after 10 years, you shouldn't be a spiritual baby. If you've did a little bit of something, if you have heard some good word somewhere and exercised that word, you should have a little bit of spiritual growth to where now you're not the one being ministered to all the time, but now you're ready to minister. In a house, I don't know about y'all. I can remember, I don't know how old I was, maybe in the second or third grade, I'm not sure. I can remember as a kid, I'm washing dishes standing in a chair because I'm not tall enough to reach the sink. I don't know how old I was. Why am I telling you that? Just like this, the Bible says this is God's house, right? The Bible says we are the family of God, right? Well, that's okay that we change your diapers when you're a baby. We expect that. Don't you expect that from babies? We don't expect babies to come out and 6 months later you're changing your own diaper and making your own bottle. That would be dumb. That's not the operation of things. That's not the same operation as spiritual babies either. We expect to have to help them. We expect to have to encourage them. We expect to have to minister to them and serve them and all that, right? But we don't have to want to part your mustache to put a bottle in. There's something wrong with that problem. Why? Just like in a natural house, once kids gets up to a 2 and 3 year old, they can understand, pick that toy up and put it over there in the toy box. If they can't, I can help you with that. It's called bust your tail, and you'll remember the next time. Why am I saying all that? Because do you understand it's the same way in the kingdom of God? That we're born again we're not saved to just sit. We're not saved to just be gluttons, spiritual gluttons, all the time needing somebody to minister to me. We're supposed to come in, be born again, and sure, get fat on the word, whatever we hear, be excited, go out, do it. You know, witness to others or whatever. But then there comes a time to where in the house we're supposed to start serving others. We're not expecting everybody to serve us. And coming here with that attitude, I need me some Jesus. Well, honey, more than likely, if you'd have done the homework you're supposed to have done at home, serve God and had the relationship with you, Him you're supposed to have at home, you won't need Him as much when you get here. How do I know what I'm talking about? I've lived it. There ain't no way I could depend on all y'all. Absolutely not. I've got things I need to do at home. Why? Because now I'm employed in the service. Very rarely do I get ministered to in this house. And that's okay. Why? Because I'm not supposed to be now. Sure, some testimonies blesses me. Sometimes the praise and worship up here, you know, I can't do like I want to. I mean, because I got a member count, 1, 2, 3, 4, and go over here and all that, you know. So, I mean, it's a little hard for me to worship when I'm doing all of that or whatever. But at the same time, when I do what I need to do at home, Sandy, when I come to church, I'm full. So therefore, when I come to church, I'm not sucking on all y'all. I don't need y'all to provide me spiritual maintenance. I'm supposed to be doing that myself. Now, babies, they don't understand that. That's part of the problem. I didn't understand that when I was a baby Christian. That's how come I always felt like, if I can just get to Brother Brad and let him pray for me. Why? I can't get all this stuff off of me because I'm not doing the things I need to do. So therefore, I know what I'm talking about. But then once I learned it and I began to do it, I see, I don't understand this, people. I'm looking for the fire of God. God, just send the fire. Send the fire, send the fire. If you want fire, fill yourself up, and people will come watch you burn. I'm reminded of a story about Zach. Maybe he won't care if I tell it, but hey, I can't help it if I do. He makes me tell all my stuff, and now yours. Anyway, talk to him about it, Zach. I remember one time Sandy was doing a play. I can't remember if it's the first play they done or the second or whatever. But anyway, they was working on a play. And Zach had a part in the play. And I think he's giving Sandy a little bit about he don't want to do it or ain't going to do it or something. I don't remember exactly. She didn't talk to me. She talked to Scotty about it, you know, because it's really bothering her. She feels like the Lord wants him to do it, you know. I know how that feels. I know what direction the Lord wants us to come and me to say and y'all to do and me to do. And then half of you don't do it. It's frustrating. Understand. So she talks to Scotty about it, and Scotty talks to Zach. Zach, I think Zach says something down the lines, and if I get me wrong, you can tell me. Something down the lines, my heart's not in it. You know what Scotty's response was? Get your heart in it. See, a lot of people don't know you can. But part of it is you just don't want to. You can do what you want to do. I can do what I want to do. I was talking to Scotty this morning, and I asked him, I said, whenever we was dating, he never missed a day coming to my house. I mean, if he ever did, it was one time in a couple of years. He's always at my house anytime he possibly can be, that Mama and them will allow it, and some they don't allow. They just didn't know about. I asked him this morning, I said, because they would be, I have never met a person that swapped vehicles more than him. Y'all think he swaps now? Y'all don't know nothing. He used to swap 2 and 3 times in 1 week. I never know what he's coming to my house in. One time it's a Wildcat four-door Buick. The next time he come, it's a big four-door yellow Cadillac. Nice Cadillac, but good Lord, that thing's as long as the stage nearly looked like. Then the next time he comes in, what is it, a 71 Plymouth Satellite? Next time he comes in a D50 Dodge. I mean, you never know. Monte Carlo. I mean, all kinds. He's a trader. Well, anyway, during this time, there would be sometimes he wouldn't have a vehicle. Johnny, you know he still come to my house? He's got Daddy's truck. There was times because he couldn't work because he's over my house too much. He says, I've earned him. I didn't do it to him. Oh. There would be times because he didn't work. He didn't have no job. I mean, he gets in trouble because y'all know that Nectar Bridge over there? He follows my bus when he can. Looks who I'm sitting with and all kinds of stuff on the bus. Well, one time he's following the bus and over there on that Nectar Bridge, it's double yellow line. He passes my bus on the bridge. Gets me in trouble and him in trouble. I can't help what he does, but he had to see who I'm sitting with, Monty. And why am I telling you all this? There's times he didn't have no gas money. Bless God, he found some gas money. I don't know if he stole it, won it, borrowed it. I don't know what he got some gas money. Why? He's got to come to my house. He's lost. You can't get him more lost than what he was. Good Lord. He's lost. Why am I saying that? If lost people can do that in the natural, what can we do with the Spirit of God and the favor of God and the plan and the will of God in our lives and faith in God? He said, all things are possible to who? Those who believe. Part of the problem is everybody's not believing. They want to say they're believing, but they're really not believing. Because just like Scotty in the natural, you know, anytime he wanted to come see me, he found a way. And he's lost. So he's not using no faith in God. He's using love and desire for Teresa. But he says there, seek first the kingdom. So because he tells me, seek first the kingdom of God, that tells me I can do it, Johnny. Anytime that kingdom needs to be put first and sought first, and it seems like there's no way that I can or that I can do my service that God's called me to do or whatever, if I will use faith in God, he'll make a way. He told me to do it. He's not going to tell me to do something and then not give me the grace and the ability to do it. He's not like that. He only holds us accountable for what he tells us. But the thing about it is, sometimes we have to exercise faith and patience to do the things he's told us to do. It's not always convenient for me to seek first the kingdom of God. People is the kingdom of God. Church is still the kingdom of God. But you got people all over the place. Listen, God could bless me with a brand new 2022 bass boat. And that thing can become a curse to me. You know how it can become a curse? Because before I got up, I was seeking first the kingdom of God. I was praying. I was reading. I was listening to preaching. I was obeying God. I'm putting my buggy back at Walmart when the Holy Ghost tells me to. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm going to church. I'm doing Sunday school. How does it become a curse? When I begin to allow that to become first. I become my own Lord and my own God. Now I got to be at the lake on Sunday morning, Monty. I can't do Sunday school. But I'm using the blessing of the Lord, but now it's becoming a curse to me. That's happening all over the place. Do you know God said in the book of James, he said if you have friendship with the world, you become an enemy to God. And he talks about how you can commit spiritual adultery. In the Old Testament, every time they went after other gods, when they forsook God and went after other gods, what happened? He said, that's what you want? lifts his hand up, they would go into captivity every time. Do you realize we don't have natural enemies today, but we have spiritual enemies? And any time we begin to not seek first God and his kingdom, and we begin to seek after other things, we're going to go into captivity. Why? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't have it. God is your protector. God is your provider. All this other stuff. But you want him to be last? My kids are first. No wonder your kids have a problem. Every kid I've ever met that to their parents that kid was first was a terror. They need their tail tore up. Why? There's a root of selfishness in that. I'm first. Give me what I want. Take me where I want to go. That's the only place that God can hold us, to be first in our lives. And then second, it's supposed to be the kingdom. Now, there's times, just like when Scotty had the heart attack and I had to stay at the hospital with him, y'all never skipped a beat. From his hospital room, he's calling people. I mean, before we even got sent to Birmingham, I sent April a text, told her what happened. Can Monty do Sunday school for me? Why? I'm thinking about God, the kingdom, and you guys. Why? I'm still employed in service to God and you, no matter what's going on in my life. So therefore, the provision of that must be first. If it's not, I'm not seeking first the kingdom. And when I'm not seeking first the kingdom, what happens? All these things that I need and desire in my life are not going to be added. Because the condition of them being added is God and his kingdom being first in my life, in my heart, and in my mind. So therefore, and then Scotty called Brother Brad, you know, can you come minister, blah, blah, blah. Then we had the giveaway, you know, and set Sandy up to do the prayer. God is faithful. God had Sandy in there I don't know how long. She didn't used to be in there at prayer time. But somehow or another, things got switched around, and she got in the prayer time with Scotty. So therefore, she's been in there for months learning, seeing how this is supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. How, do you realize sometimes you got to take authority in there? Everybody ain't saved. And some people are just here to tell you all about them and what they do. So therefore, sometimes you got to take authority in there. This is it. Cut them off. Now try not to be rude about it. But why do you have to? Because they're trying to take it a different direction than what it's supposed to go. So therefore, Sandy was in there learning all that. So the day y'all had the giveaway, Sandy's in there, and God even sent, I think, Tim Coker to help her, you know, to be in there with her that time or whatever. Why am I saying all this? Because we're saved to serve. To serve God and to serve people. Jesus said it this way. Now this is over in Acts 20:35. The Apostle Paul said it, but he's quoting Jesus. He said, Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I don't always feel that way. Sometimes I feel taken advantage of. Sometimes I feel stingy and I don't want to give it. I'm just being honest. I know y'all don't have this stuff, but I have real flesh I have to deal with. It's not completely crucified yet. I mean, it is in the spirit, but y'all know what I mean in the natural. I'm still trying to work on it here. You know, I don't always want to give somebody $100 if God tells me to. Why? I could have bought me a new outfit with that. I could have did something for it. I could have bought some ice cream, something. I know maybe y'all always feel it. I don't always feel it. But when he tells me to do something, that's part of seeking God first and his kingdom first. And I'm employed in his service. Whatever he tells me to do, that is exactly what I'm supposed to do. Whether I feel it, I don't always feel it. Sometimes I'd rather lay in the bed on Sunday morning than be here serving y'all. That some of y'all don't even want to eat what I got to tell you. Y'all not saying nothing. But he said it's more blessed to give than what it is, than it is to receive. Why does he say that? Because seeking first God and his kingdom and doing his will give you the greatest fulfillment of purpose in your entire life. Maybe not right at that second. See, like I deliver to a lot of these elderly, and some of them not elderly anymore, some of them's young. The majority of them, not all of them, but the majority of them, they ain't even up by 10 o'clock. They have no time to get up. They have no time to go to bed. They have no purpose in life. It's just whatever I feel. Que sera, whatever's going to be is what's going to be. Do you know that's one of the most dissatisfying, unfulfilled lives you can possibly live? But it feels good to the flesh because I got no responsibility and I'm not obligated to anybody or anything. But how many knows there's going a day come that Jesus is coming And we're going to stand before God, and he's going to pass out rewards. And sad to say, there's going to be some Christians that are there, they have none. Their job was their priority. Now, I need to get to my job that God gave me. I need to do it, the Bible says, as unto the Lord, not man pleasers. And I need to do it to the best of my ability. But when it comes to kingdom, especially if I'm employed in service, if I'm on the praise team, if I'm to do Sunday school, Monty's to do men's meeting, Scotty's to do the rest of whatever it is he does, the preaching or whatever, called to do, you're supposed to be doing the nursery, then I'm supposed to be doing it. And the thing about it is, if nobody sees what I do, nobody pats me on the back for what I do, God sees and records absolutely everything, and I will be rewarded. And if you ain't got none, I'm sorry, it's not my fault. If I don't have none, y'all sorry, it's not y'all's fault, right? Why? Because every one of us have a personal relationship with Jesus, and we know the things that he's called us to do. And if you see something that needs doing and you got a desire in your heart, don't start that. Bless God, somebody needs to do something about that. Ain't nobody seen it but you. Reckon who he's telling to do it. Don't put that off on me. I ain't even thought about it. So I know he can't be talking to me. He's talking to you, whoever it is, right? Let's look at, oh gosh, I got about 3 minutes. Skip that. I know we're going to be on this a while, but I wanted to make a point here. Skip that. Acts 6. Since I'm on this part of the subject. We're going to read verse 1 through 7. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring..." Murmuring's always complaining. He says, "of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." What that is, they're having a daily food giveaway. And their widows are not getting what they're supposed to. He says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not..." Now notice who's doing this. The apostles, they was griping to the apostles, so the apostles did what? They called the disciples, right? He says here unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." What are they saying here? We're not called to tote food boxes. We're called to minister the word. Now we all have our service that we're called to. He goes on and he says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report." So who's doing this? The disciples are looking at the others. "To find 7 men of good report," he says, "full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we," notice what he said, "we apostles will appoint." Not you disciples going to appoint them. Y'all look into y'all's people and find us somebody, and then y'all bring them before us, and we're going to choose whether we will appoint them or not. He says, "may appoint over this business." He says, "but we will give ourselves continually to prayer, and to the ministry," that means serving, "of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and whatever the rest of all those are. Y'all see it. He says, "whom they set before the apostles." They didn't just pick them themselves. "And the number of the disciples," notice, "multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Why am I saying this? Because we got a problem here. We're saved to serve, and we all have a calling of service. Now, when I first got born again, the only thing you could let me do was keep the nursery. That's all they let me do up there, Monty, and I had to be saved a while before I could do that because I hurt them. I love kids, but that attitude kind of gets on my nerves. But anyway... So I get saved. Now, Scotty, right off the bat, saved 3 months. He's going to the jail. You can't let me go to the jail yet. I have other issues. So start me off in the nursery. Then after a few years of that, then they moved me up to teaching. I think it was like, I don't know, maybe second grade kids or whatever, you know, Sunday school or whatever. And then later on, you know, something else and something else. And then before you know it, then we get sent down here. That is the same process for everybody. Everybody's not born again and just instantly know everything you're called to be, everything you're called to do. It's usually a process, but sad to say, sometimes we don't even grow enough to get to the first level of what our service that God wants us to do. I've got to stop because time is actually up. And he says here, because Lyman said, it's not the pastor.